giving thanks to God for all things, for this time that we have to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Once again, I am thankful to be able to come to Real Road to proclaim God's word. The invitation to come has been out there for quite some time. Last year it was postponed, and I appreciate the postponement because some people would ask, was it canceled or was it just postponed? And I'm here, so it was just postponed. It was not canceled. To be able to come and to go through the Word of God with you is a great thing. The time that we had this morning in Bible class, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed it. The time right after Bible class, talking to Brother Wilson, I enjoyed that as well. Got to get reacquainted once again. But some of you, again, we have known each other for a long time. And that friendship that we have established throughout the years cannot be replaced by anything. You know, I'm just going to call a couple of names, Brother and Sister Powell. You know, the times that we've been in their home, spending and talking with them, those were great times. To see you all come in this morning did my heart good. And I couldn't but laugh when Brother Powell, I can't remember the name of the place, but when he said they locked them in their rooms during the pandemic, he said we had to move. You know, we never want to be locked in anywhere, nor do we want to be locked out of anywhere. So to come together this morning to look at God's word, to be able to open up his word and to know what thus said the Lord is what we are appreciative of on this morning. Anita and Dante for, you know, traveling here with me. Anita did most of the driving, by the way, I do think, and hopefully she'll do the same going home. But to realize the changes that I have made throughout the years, being with her, we can only thank God for those changes that have come a very, very long way. And for her and Dante to be, to set through the lessons that some of them they have heard and to set through them again, hopefully they'll get something new out of them, just as I do when I look at the Word of God. This morning we are going to talk about understanding who God is. Understanding who God is. We looked at that this morning somewhat, knowing that He is our Creator, the very one who created the heavens and the earth, the very one who said, "Let us make man in our image," the very one who destroyed everything that He had created that was outside the ark. The very one who gave us an opportunity to become part of His family. That's who we want to get a better understanding of this morning. The one that do not know Him need to know Him. How do we get to know God? Romans 10:17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you want to know God, you go to the source. You go to His Word. Just as if you want to know something about me, you don't go to Anita. You come to me. Now, if you want to know something about her, you go to her. Y'all thought I was going to say you come to me, right? God's Word is what we need in order to know about Him. Now we're gonna look at some scriptures, and I'm just gonna give you part of some scripture as we go through this lesson on this morning. But understand that everything you need to know about Him, you will find in His Word. I like what what Solomon said. We remember Solomon, the one that asked God for wisdom to judge his people. The Bible tells us there was not any man like before him nor after him. A great man. But Solomon says this according to understanding. In Proverbs 1, verse 6. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and that riddle. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, when we look and we hear the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, well, to know him and to have that faith in him tells us that we fear him. What is it about God that we fear? You know, children, sometimes a parent has said things to that child or have done things to that child, and that child fears that man or that woman. I'm looking around the room. This was your oldest son that was sitting up here that came up here and read the scriptures? It takes me way back. It takes me back to the times where that child, yes, Anita, I'm going to say it, where that child would act up and Ken would take that child out and he would put fear in him. And when he came back in, that child was quiet. God has to put fear in man in order for man to be quiet, for man to understand that God means business. So we want to understand who God is. So my first question, as we look at this and get an understanding about who God is, how do we see God? How do we see him? Do we see him as God? Do we see him as our creator? Do we see him as someone that needs to be feared or someone that needs to be reverenced? Do we see him as somebody that is going to judge us according to what he has said? Do we see him like that in that sense? In that light, do we see him? If we don't see him in that way, we really don't see him. We don't understand him. So we want to see him on this morning. We want to understand who he is according to his word. In Jeremiah chapter 31, starting with the first verse. Jeremiah chapter 31, starting with the first verse. Understanding the power that God has just by speaking his word. Jeremiah 31, verse 1, at that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus said the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness, and when Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from afar. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. I have loved you. Look what he says. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Do you see God this morning as being someone that is faithful? Someone that will never shirk back from loving you, from keeping the words in which he has said, for someone that can sustain you, that can uphold you. The thing that we need to realize about God It is exactly what he says in reference to, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You know, when we hear the word, or someone say, I have loved you. You know, again, we look at this word love in a past tense sense here, but God is not saying, I loved you and that's it. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, which means that his love continues on and on and on. And that's a good God. Now, when we look at somebody or we're talking about someone and say, I once loved that person, that's past tense. But God's love is everlasting, will never cease to be. So therefore, what we need to do is we need to accept his love. And we need to look at what his word says, and we need to put his word to heart. Do you believe this morning that God loves you? Do you understand why he loves you? Just like a mother or a father, their children. Their children may not be the best in the world, but they love them. Why? Because that's somebody that they brought into this world. They had a part in that. God brought us into the world. And he loves us. He do not want us to be separated away from him. But what we do is we separate ourselves away from him. But again, we have to know when we talk about, you know, tough love toward our children, that God has the same thing toward us. Tough love. He wants us to do what is right, but when we do not do what is right, God, the Bible tells us that God does not listen to us. Have you ever heard that person say, why is God not listening to me? Why is he not answering my prayers? And we have to step back and we have to look at his children, the children of Israel, to get an answer for some of the questions that we ask. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 59. In reference to God, trying to understand him. Why does he do what he do when he does it? It says in Isaiah 59 verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. It's because of what man has done that God does what he does. He's not going to change for man, but he wants man to change for him. God does not separate himself away from us. We separate away from him. Now, how do you see him? Do you see him being next to you? Do you see him being behind you or in front of you? Where do you see him? Many of us have put God way behind us. We put him on a back burner somewhere. And understand again who he is. He's a God that does not participate in sinful things. He cannot dwell within you if you are full of sin. Understand again, he's God. He can do what he wants to do. But know again, he's not going to do anything against his will. The God that we serve is almighty. He's a God, again, that is trustworthy, a God that we can put our faith in. Again, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. How do we gain faith in God? By hearing his word. And understand from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when we talk about not just putting our faith in God, but what exactly is faith? What is faith? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By the words in which they heard, by their actions. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By having faith, by listening to God, by being obedient to God. See, an obedient faith. So who does God reward? The faithful. What about the unfaithful? They're going to get their just reward as well, but are they going to receive the same things that we receive? No, they're not. The spiritual gifts are for the faithful, not the unfaithful. The rain is for the just as well as the unjust. The sun is shining right now. Everyone is able to enjoy the sunshine. But there are some things that some people are going to receive that others will not receive. See, understand again who God is. God is not a respecter of person, but God is going to keep his word. The things in which he has said, he's going to keep those things. And we need to understand once again, he is trustworthy. Verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible. Impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, understand, you know, we go to our children's events that they play, the athletic things that they participate in, the football games, the basketball games, the track meets. Now, in a football game, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. In a basketball game, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. In a track meet, let's just go back to the elementary children. We don't want to talk about the high school and the college. But in elementary school, we ran races. And as we ran those races, somebody came in first, somebody came in second, somebody came in third, somebody came in fourth, somebody came in fifth and sixth. Generally, you only see a first place ribbon, which is what? The blue ribbon. Second place, which is the red ribbon, and third place, which is the white ribbon. We didn't want any, the grown-ups, I'm saying we, I wasn't grown at the time, I was a child. They came up with these pink ribbons, green ribbons, and a whole lot of different other colors. Why? Because they didn't want anybody to go home without a ribbon. They wanted everybody to feel good about themselves. And that's okay. What you're doing is you're instilling something in this child and letting them know that he or she is somebody. And participating in an event that you are going to be rewarded regardless. God, again, he's not a respecter of person. But he is not going to give you a pink ribbon or a green ribbon just because you participated. You must do what you're supposed to do and do it, as the scripture says, wholeheartedly. Putting all that you have in what he desires for you to do. He says again, he is a rewarder, or that he rewards those who seek him. So the man that does not seek him, he's just sitting here this morning, but he's just sitting here to be sitting here. God doesn't have anything for you because you have not done what you're supposed to do. Now, grace is for everyone that receives it. It's extended to everyone, but the only ones that's going to get it is the ones that get up and get it. What God has for you, he has for everybody. But you have to do your part in order to get it. So you seek him, he will reward you. So understanding again who God is. He's worthy to be thanked because he's thankful himself. He's faithful, the Bible tells us once again. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, starting with the 18th verse, Romans 1, starting with the 18th verse, It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Now, what did I say earlier at the beginning of this message? If you want to know something about God, you go to his word. Here, Paul is telling those in Rome that God has shown it to them. They know God, exactly what he desires for them to do, exactly who he is. They have seen the results of those that were unrighteousness and what God has done to them, but yet they still refuse to be obedient. He says in verse 20, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. See, God has not hidden the things that he wants man to know. He has revealed them. He has shown them. And if God has revealed something, if God has shown something, that something need to be accepted. It needs to be obeyed. He says, in the things that have been made so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, and I was sharing this earlier, they knew him, they did not honor him as God, or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, understanding who God is. How do we know? How can we know him? We go to his word again. These individuals that knew God, but they did not want to honor him as God, was not going to change God's mind in reference to disciplining them. Not going to change his mind. Rewarding them is not going to change his mind. Being disobedient, not going to change his mind. You know, in the very beginning, when Adam and Eve, we'll just say Eve, okay? But we know Adam was there too. But when Eve was in disobedience, was in transgression, did God change his mind and say, well, we're gonna leave her alone right now. We're not gonna mess with her. We're just gonna let her listen to the serpent, and we're gonna let her eat that fruit and just live happily ever after. Did God say that? No, let's understand who he is. What did I say earlier? He says what he means, and he means what he says. When he told Adam, you know, the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. You'll surely die. But the old serpent said, you will not surely die. You know, God is just messing with you, basically. He know that when you eat of it, you're going to become as a god. Oh, death came into the world because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They, at that time, yes, a spiritual separation away from God because of disobedience. And yes, God put them out of the garden. Why? Because he did not want them to eat from that tree of life. You know, a lot of times we miss that. Why did God put them out of the garden? Well, he tells you. So they would not eat from the tree of life and live forever. If the old devil was so smart, which he cannot outsmart God, he would have told Eve, as soon as you eat that tree, from that tree, eat from that other tree so that you will not die. No, he didn't want them to eat from that other tree. Maybe he was as smart as, you know, some of us don't give him credit for. He didn't want to spend eternity in hell by himself. So therefore, he wants man to be disobedient unto God. But again, understanding who God is. God still loved man, And therefore, he clothed them before putting them out of the garden. He clothed them. So we serve a wonderful God. But yet man, again, from Romans 1, man is so unthankful about what God has revealed to them that they are just so disobedient. Do we see that today? Yes, man is still disobedient. They're still doing things that God is displeased with. And many times when we look at Romans 1, we always want to talk about homosexuality. Yes, the Bible does condemn homosexuality. Yes, it does talk about homosexuality here. But that's not the only sins. That's not the only sins. There are many other sins that are addressed. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Understanding who God is, God has not said there's a great sin and there's a less sin. He has not put any status on that. Sin is sin. Sin is sin. What is sin? 2 John 9, transgression of the law. Understanding who God is. God has set the standard. And man must follow the standard. He's not going to lower it for you and he's not going to raise it for you. He wants you to follow it the way it is written. We serve a God of love. In Matthew chapter 22, and the verse is 37. We serve a God of love, and we need to accept that love from him, and we need to make sure that we're showing that love back to him. Matthew 22. Verse 37. I'm going to start with verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The love of God. How does God want us to love him? Understanding once again who he is. He don't want part of our love. He desires all of our love. You know, you ever told someone, I love you so much that it hurts. That's the way we're supposed to love God. So much that it hurts. Demonstrating it. How? He says, with your soul, with your heart, with your mind, that's how you're supposed to love God. Now, the test was to see what they would say, and here is the reply. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Do you see God as a God that you can love? Understanding once again, he has commanded us to love. Do you see him in that sense? If you don't, you need to start. Because if you don't love him, how can you love your fellow man? You can't do it. Infatuation, maybe. But you can't love without God. So we need him, and we need to continue to depend upon him. Understanding who God is. In Psalm 8, you want to understand who he is, understand how we were created. We were created in his image. We were created holy. And when we look here in Psalm 8, we realize not only is he holy, but everything about him. Psalm 8, starting with the first verse. O Lord, our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, You have established strength because of your foes to steal the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and the beast of the field and the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Understanding again who God is. Even his name is majestic. That's power. Great power. All honor, all glory is due to him because of who he is. And if man does not understand that, if man does not understand what God's name represents, then that man is lost. And that man, somebody needs to sit down with him and teach him the word of God so that he may be able to give praise and honor unto him. Because it's due him. It's due. God's name is holy. We serve a everlasting, loving God. And if you're here this morning and you do not understand that, be as the eunuch was in Acts chapter 8. Don't be ashamed of it. See, he wasn't ashamed of his knowledge of what the scriptures was teaching. What he did there, when you go to Acts chapter 8, what the eunuch did when the Spirit of the Lord led Philip to that chariot, and he was there, and there the eunuch was sitting there reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And Philip's question to him was, do you understand what you're reading? And his reply was, how can I except some man guide me? Now, understanding who God is allows us to understand who Jesus is, allows us to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And then it allows us to understand who we are. The eunuch, when Philip took him, as the Bible says, from that very passage and preached unto him Jesus, the eunuch understood that he was lost. The eunuch understood that he was unsaved. The eunuch understood that he needed to be baptized. The scriptures, again, when you read it there, as we sometimes do not understand, you walk up to somebody and they're reading from the book of Revelation and they're non-Christian and they're sitting there having a hard time. And the first thing to come out of our mouth is, why are you reading the book of Revelation? You know how hard that book is to read? Whereas what we need to be doing is we need to be reading it. Why? So that when we run up on someone, we don't have to tell them anything like that. We can do as Philip did. We can take them from that very passage and we can preach Jesus unto them. And the Bible says when they came upon a certain water, there in verse 36, he says, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And what did Philip say? Philip did not say, you don't need to be baptized. Philip didn't say, you know, all that I just told you, don't worry about those things. No. Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, if you believe with all your heart, and what did the eunuch say? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Commanded the chariot to stand still, and the Bible said they both went down into the water. They both went down into the water. You know what happened with the eunuch that day? He understood that God saved. He understood that God's word is true. He understood that now he was in a state where he didn't have to worry about death. He was saved. All the while Philip was teaching him, you never hear about him rejoicing. You never hear him say, you know, man, that's some good. I'm glad that you told me that. I can feel good about myself. You don't hear that. But you see, when he came up out of that water, how he went away rejoicing. How he went away rejoicing. Because he had the understanding that God saves and God knows how to fix things, and his life was fixed.